Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter number 15. Familiar passage of Scripture right here. Beginning with verse number 11, we'll read a few verses. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that swine did eat, no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. They began to be merry. Brother Adam, would you pray for us? God help me, Lord. I need you, Jesus. God help me, Lord. I need you, Jesus. Please help me, God. Amen. Amen. Verse number 13, I want to get a thought from tonight. This phrase, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now, I want to preach on this subject tonight. How far is the far country? How far is the far country? You know, a lot of times we look at this story and we judge this young man right here for taking his father's living there and going out and wasting it in the far country. But I wonder, how far tonight is your far country? How far is my far country? Every day, probably today, you were tempted some way or another to turn towards the far country in your walk today. Now, I want you to keep this thought in mind. How far is the far country tonight? I want you to know today that we're tempted in many different ways. We're living in a dark day today. In the far country, I want to say tonight, it's closer than you think it is. Oh, we want to think of the far country as being way off somewhere. But I want to tell you, the devil's going to put the far country right within your touch. He's going to put it within your reach. He's going to make it easily and readily available to you in your life and in your walk. Before you go picking up rocks and throwing it at somebody else that's ventured off into the far country, you better be careful. Let him that thinks he standeth take heed lest he fall. Amen. Every one of us is susceptible to going off into the far country. Now, I want to give you a warning tonight out of the Word of God. Now, I want to look at these two young men right here, or this young man and the elder. Now, I want to give you a few thoughts from the lives of each one of these men here. The younger son, first of all, he left the father's house. Have you ever been tempted to just leave out and strike out on your own and just rebel against God? Kids, have you ever been tempted just to leave out and rebel against your parents? Just go your way and do your own thing? You better learn a lesson right here from this younger son. He tried it and he failed. Listen tonight. The younger son, he left the father's house. Let me tell you, there ain't no place like home. You better watch the devil tonight. He'll get you in a place to where he'll go to whispering in your ear about this house right here, this church house right here. He'll go to telling you, don't nobody care nothing about you. He'll go to telling you you don't belong down there, that you ought to just move out, go your own way. Maybe you ought to go try somewhere else a while. You better watch him. You better watch the devil. He's sly. He's subtle. He's here to steal, to kill, and destroy. This younger son right here. How in the world? How did he get caught? How? What caused him to leave out for the far country? I think it all started with a look. A look. The far country. Listen. Have you ever had a careless look? We're confronted with different things every day, ain't we? To look at something we ought not to be looking at. And you'll see things every day. You'll see things that's really not Christian-like to look at. At home on your TV. Might be down on the job. Might be on a billboard. Might be on a magazine rack. We're confronted with things we ought not to look at. But it's not the glance that'll get you in trouble. It's the continued look. The enticing look. The things that the devil puts before you. I really believe that this younger son right here, it all started with a careless look. You see, he wanted his father to give him to divide his part of the inheritance. It wasn't time for that. His daddy was still alive. No sooner did he got it than he headed off for the far country. I think all the time that he was wanting his daddy to give him that living there, he had his eyes on the far country. He done seen something down there that had enticed him, and he wanted to go try it out. You ever got caught in a situation like that? Young people are very, very tempted to try things they never tried before. Oh, and a lot of times it gets you in a mess. Gets you in a world of hurt. A careless look. He looked. There's characters in this Bible right here that great men of God that looked and it got them in big trouble. You remember the story of Lot over in the book of Genesis? When Abraham and Lot began to split up and go their own ways, Abraham gave Lot a choice of going whatever direction he wanted to go. And he looked toward the well-watered plains of Jordan. But the only problem over there, Sodom was down there. The Bible says he chose that area. And then the Bible says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Then all of a sudden, the next chapter or two, you find him over in Sodom. Dwelling there in that place where God said the men of that city were exceeding wicked. But he looked that way. It all started with a look. It looked good to the eyes. It looked good to the flesh. Looked prosperous to him. So he headed out that way. Started with a look. What about Achan? You remember the story of Achan in the Bible? He walked across Jordan on dry ground, went into the promised land over there. He knew the God of the Bible. No doubt in my mind, God told him to go over there and destroy Jericho and to not touch anything there. Touch not the accursed thing. But what happened to him? He did it anyway, didn't he? When he got caught up with, what did he say? He said, I saw the goodly Babylonian garment and the silver and the gold. And he said, I coveted it. I coveted it. He let his eyes stay on the things that were forbidden of God too long. He let it grow into covetousness in his heart. Not only Lot and Achan, but what about King David? You're real familiar with that story. Time when kings go out to battle, David remained at home. Up in the middle of the night, walking upon his rooftop there, he looked and he saw Bathsheba bathing. Well, the king, the man that was after God's own heart, he didn't turn away like he should have, but he looked and he lusted. And one sin led to another. Look, it all started with a look. How far is the far country? It can be to you and to me just a look, a careless look in the wrong direction. What happens? What happens after a careless look? There's a conception of lust. Lust. And we all have that problem. We're dwelling in a house of clay. This flesh right here is prone to lust. Lust is something that we're warned about in the Word of God. Paul told young Timothy to flee youthful lust. Peter tells you and I to abstain from fleshly lust that war against the soul. But oftentimes we look, then there's a conception of lust. James chapter number 1. I want you to see this. Read this with me again. In James chapter number 1, the Bible says this, God tempts no man. Verse 14 it says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You see, we can't blame our sins on somebody else. We can't blame our sins on God. We can't even blame it on Satan. Says we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. But then the sad part comes. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. How many times have you seen somebody drawn away into sin and it carries them all the way to death? I've seen it. I've seen Christian people go to an early grave because they got drawn away into sin. That lust conceived and it brought forth sin. And sin brought forth death. Listen, not only a careless look, conception of lust, but the course of lasciviousness. I'm talking about unbridled lust. Lust is something that you and I better get a hold of. Lust is a destroyer. Lust will cost you more than you ever thought you was willing to pay. Lust will take you into places you never thought you'd go. Lust will make you do things that you said, I'll never do. You better beware of this course of lasciviousness, unbridled lust. Peter had something to say right here to you and me over in 1 Peter right here, chapter number 4. He says this, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable adulteries. Then it says it all right there. You better get a hold of lust in your life. If you got something that just eats you alive, that turns you away from God, you better get a hold of it. And this young man right here, he wound up down there in the far country, broke and busted, and barren all alone in a hog pen. Wonder he hadn't died out there where he was at. Oh, sin will take you farther than you ever meant to go. The careless look is where it all started. Then there was conception of lust, course of lasciviousness. But then there's a cost that's always lurking. When sin takes you as far as it can take you, there's always death there. The Bible don't lie, does it? Sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. Ask Lot. He lost so much back there in Sodom, didn't he? Lost his own wife. He lost his son, the sons-in-law's over there. He lost. It was death. It brought forth death. Achan lost his whole family because of the accursed thing that he coveted and that he took in disobedience to God. King David was told that the sword would never depart from his house. He saw that child die that was conceived in sin and lust. He saw one of his sons rape a daughter. He saw another son out of revenge kill that son. Now, you could ask King David today, is it worth it? He'd say, no, no, no. There's a price to pay. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. No exemptions, no exceptions. Sin will find you out one day. God will bring it to light. God told David, this thing you've done in secret, I'm going to reward you openly for what you've done. And he did that thing. Ain't it something how great a man as King David was? Oftentimes this is the story most remembered about him, ain't it? Amen. And what about Lot? He was a righteous man, vexed with the wicked conversation over there of Sodom. What do we remember about Lot? We don't remember nothing about his righteousness, but about him dwelling over there in that wicked place. I don't want to go down in shame, do you? I don't want to go down to the far country and lose my testimony, and lose my life. Because of some lust. This younger son right here. Listen to me, young people. He was young. And he yielded. He yielded to that lust. And he found himself down there in the far country yoked. Yoked to that sin. And he lost many years, probably his life down there. Wasted in the hog pen. Isn't it amazing that this son right here, he's always remembered as the prodigal. The prodigal. What do you want to be remembered by? What are people going to remember you by when you're gone? Hope they don't have to say, Brother Mike Rollins went back on God. Brother Mike Rollins turned out into the world. You better know today that the devil wants your life. He wants to see you destroyed. He wants to see your testimony destroyed. Watch how you look. Watch how you lust. Watch where you leave out for. Stay out of the far country. Young people, when I was about 12 years old, there was an old club out here. American Legion. Me and two cousins of mine got in my brother's car one night. We slipped off and went down there to that place. We got us a can of beer out there at that place. Took a drink of it, and it was the awfulest thing I ever tasted in my life. But you know what I done? I went back again and again and again. By the time that I was 21, 22, 23 years old, I was yoked to alcohol. I couldn't get away from it. I couldn't wait every day to get off work, to go to the package store and get more. I couldn't get rid of it. It all started with one little touch, one little sip. There's folks today that's their far country might be in a pill bottle. Their far country might be in pornography. It might be in alcohol. It might be in drugs. Various things that the devil has for you out there. But it'll take you to a place of death. You better learn that lesson well, friends. You better learn it well. Had a good friend I went to school with. When I was 21 years old, I was lost. This old boy went off to a New Year's Eve party one night. He never was a troublemaker. I never seen him in a fight in school. Somebody shot him and killed him. You see, where sin took him? An early grave. You better beware. There's a price to pay. The Bible says, "Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." You sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting, thank God. How far is the far country? How far is your far country tonight? I'd say every one of us in here has got a weakness. You better learn how to battle it. You better learn how to fight it. You better learn how to overcome it. It'll take you to an early grave. Not only this younger son that we all look at down our faces at him and look how bad he was for taking and wasting his father's living, but I want you to notice not only the younger son that left the father's house, but I want you to notice the older son, the elder son that lived at the father's house. You know something tonight? You can come to this church three times a week. You can give on Sunday morning. You can go to the prayer room. You can come to the altar and you can still be living in the far country. Amen. This elder son right here was... He was living his life in the far country, but he was right there at the Father's house. Notice these things right here and we'll be done. First of all, he was self-righteous. Verse number 29 right here, he says this. He says, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." That's a lie right there. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. The Bible says there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But this old boy, he done looked out there at the music and the dancing, and the younger son had come back. And this old boy right here in his self-righteousness, he said, "Well, I ain't never done nothing wrong." Boy, you better not come into the house of God with that attitude. Thinking you're perfect, thinking you've arrived. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the mercies of God, we wouldn't be here tonight. If God rewarded us according to our goodness, we'd all die and go to hell. We can't live good enough to merit the good grace of God. It's by His mercies. But this elder son, he was self-righteous. You better beware. Sometime when you think you are doing real good, and I'm not saying it's bad to be good. What I'm saying is you better keep yourself humble. The Bible says to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, don't it? And He'll exalt you in due season. This old boy was self-righteous. He was judgmental. Not only was he self-righteous, he was self-centered. There wouldn't be nobody in here like that, would there? It's all about me. Me, 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 me. When you go to pray, is it all about you? Dear God, would you do this for me? A lot of times when we pray, we're just instructing God on how we want our blessings laid out. What we want Him to do for us and how He's to run our life and how He's to bless us and how He's to take away the bad things and pour on us the good things. Self-centeredness. We forget about all these people out here on the prayer list we're supposed to be praying for. All the people that's mentioned saying, please pray for me. We forget about them. It's all about me. Self-centeredness. That's the way this old boy was. Verse 29 and 30, he says, He said, I hadn't transgressed thy commandments, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. And as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. The preacher don't never call my name when he's a preaching. Listen, there's that music there, and they hadn't even asked me to sing. There's the instruments of playing, and here I am. I'm just sitting here. I can play, but ain't nobody called on me to play. These folks are praising, but they ain't praising me. That's what this boy was thinking. Never killed a fatted calf for me. Here I am, a good boy. I'm the best. Why in the world ain't they using me? God help us not to be self-centered. We're supposed to prefer one another before ourselves, ain't we? Ain't that what the Bible teaches us? Amen. You better watch being self-righteous and self-centered. And this elder son was living at the father's house, and he had some big problems in his own life, but he couldn't see it. He was self-righteous, self-centered, and he was sitting without. He was at the father's house, but he was missing out. See, there was celebration going on. His father says, my son, which was dead, is alive again. Well, it's time to celebrate. Have you ever been to the father's house and meet and break out, celebration going on, and God's getting glory and praise, and you just sitting there without? You ain't enjoying nothing. You ain't feeling nothing. Have you ever had that experience? Well, that's a bad place to be, ain't it? You see, this son had every opportunity to be in on the celebration. But he was self-righteous. He was self-centered. And through his own doings, he was sitting without. Couldn't enjoy the meeting that was going on there. Not only that, but I'll finish up with this. He was self-righteous, self-centered. He was sitting without, but he was set straight. The Father set him straight. Did you know tonight the Father wants to set you straight? If you come into the house of God and all that goes through your mind is some bad thought about somebody else, some jealous thought, some envious thought, then you ain't right with God. If all you can do is criticize, have preacher for dinner and Sunday school teacher for dinner and brother and sister for dinner, you ain't right with God. Listen, he was set straight. In verse number 28, says that he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Called for him. Said, come here, boy. Got something to say to you. God ever called your number? God wants to set us straight. You see, this old son right here instead of being joyous for his brother who'd come home, he was jealous. Jealous. Because that boy was getting all the attention. Made him jealous. He thought he ought to have the attention. Not only was he jealous, but he was judging. When he should have been adjoining, he was judging. Better be careful how you throw them rocks. You ever throw the rock and it ricochet back on you? Saw a boy one time in a, he had a brand new car when I was a teenage boy. He had a brand new, beautiful Buick, Grand Sport Buick. Going down the road there, he decides he'd throw a rock at a sign. He smacked that sign and that thing come back on his car. Put a big old dent in the side of it. That's what might happen to you and me if we go throwing rocks at somebody. We deserve a rock throwing just as much as anybody. Instead of being joyous, he was jealous. Instead of joining in, he was judging. Instead of jubilation in his heart, he was jeopardizing the whole meeting. Wonder how many times we come to the house of God and we jeopardize the whole meeting because our heart ain't right when we get here. Do you know you can do that? You realize you can put a damper on the meeting? If you come to the house of God and your heart ain't right, we ought to get our hearts right before we come to the house of God. Just ask God to forgive you of your sins. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, Lord, and let me worship you. Lord, goodness. Go with all the trouble of getting ready, getting cleaned up, putting gas in the car and coming all the way down here. I want something when I get here. I don't want to waste my time. I want to get something out of the service when I come, don't you? Verse 31 and 32 said, he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. The younger son, his far country was out yonder away from the father's house. We're fixing to leave here in a few minutes, and you're going to go out tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. You're going to be out there in this world. You're going to make some decisions while you're out there. Your decision is going to be whether you take that step into the far country or not. Some of you may go ahead and take that step. Beware. Lot took it. Achan took it. David took it. And it all resulted in death. I'm warning you tonight. God, give me this thought. I'm warning you tonight. Beware of the far country. It'll take you further than you meant to go. It'll cost you more than you meant to pay. It'll keep you longer than you meant to stay. No doubt in my mind, there's some of you that'll be confronted with that decision this week. Whether I take them pills, where I take that drink, where I look at this dirty magazine, it's there. And you're not exempt from it. You better learn how to fight it. Amen.